Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word.
So we've been doing a series over these number of weeks. This is a fourth and final message in this series on Breakout. And I do believe that God's going to impact you greatly through it. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 4. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 4. And we're going to read verse 31 to 44. Notes are being passed out now. And while they're passing those notes out, before we read the text, just a quick review of what's taken place. We talked about doubt in the first message. And we talked about a breakout of faith. The second week and the third week, which was last week, we talked about a breakout of provision, a message that has greatly impacted me over the years. I first heard it in, not in the form in which I preached it to you, a little bit different, from Dr. James Morocco, our senior global pastor. The idea is that provision follows vision. So oftentimes we think it's the other way around. As soon as I get my ducks in a row, as soon as my ships come in, as soon as I get the provision, then I'll get moving. It really is the other way. You get a vision from God, you move forward, and here come your ducks and your ships and everything that you need. Are y'all there in Luke chapter 4? Let's stand up and read God's word from the New Living Translation today. If you haven't gotten notes, they're on the way. Luke 4 and verse 31. Let's go. Then he went down to Capernaum, a town in Galilee, and on the Sabbath he taught the people. They were amazed at his teaching because his words had authority. What did his words have? Authority. In a synagogue, there was a man possessed by a demon, an impure spirit, and he cried out at the top of his voice, "Go away." No, sorry. Is that dramatized version? Okay. "Go away. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," Jesus said sternly. "Come out of him." And the demon threw the man down before them all and came out without injuring him. Verse 36. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What words these are. With authority and power, he gives orders to impure spirits and they come out." And the news about him spread throughout the surrounding area. And Jesus left the synagogue and went to the home of Simon. Now Simon's mother-in-law was suffering from a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help her. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. Verse 40, at sunset, the people brought to Jesus all who had various kinds of sicknesses, and he laid his hands on each one and healed them. Moreover, demons came out of many people shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew he was the Messiah. At daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place. The people were looking for him, and when they came to where he was, they tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said, "I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." And he kept on preaching in the synagogues of Judea. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for what you did in the first service and what you will do now. For your word goes forth and does not return void. And you will accomplish the purpose for which it goes forth this morning. We're humbled by that. We're so grateful for all you've done already, first service and in this service up to this point. We pray and ask, Holy Spirit, that you would come and give us living understanding. I pray a quickening to the hearts and minds of your people. Give us living understanding. I pray, oh God, revelation this morning that causes a revolution in the hearts and homes of every single family here and in the community and in the nation. Lord, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be alive at this time. Thank you for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light upon our path. Move in great power in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. So again, a quick review. Really, all the messages have come from Isaiah chapter 35. Isaiah chapter 35 is a messianic passage. It's really a passage about the kingdom of God. And when you read through Isaiah 35, and it is definitely one of my favorite passages of scripture, you see this divine intervention. You see transformation that comes with God's salvation. And somebody said, well, Pastor, is that talking about when Jesus came in the earth? Absolutely, yes, but it's more. In fact, as we said in some of the previous messages, John the Baptist, who's in prison, sends two of his disciples to ask Jesus, are you the one? Are you the Messiah? John was not backslidden. I do believe he was transferring his discipleship of these two and the others to Jesus, as he must decrease and the Lord must increase, as he said. So they came to Jesus and they said, Jesus, John wants to know if you're the one. And Jesus quotes Isaiah 35. You go back and tell John, the blind see, the deaf hear. He quotes Isaiah 35. Then he says this encrypted parable, which most miss. He said, blessed are those who are not offended because of me. Because John was going to lose his head when Jesus could have rescued him. And his disciples could have been offended by that. We don't understand all the purpose of that. Isaiah 35 is profound because it points to both the first coming of Jesus and as he started his work in the earth, which we'll look at here in just a moment, and the future when he finishes it. Come, somebody say he's going to finish it. He started it, but he's going to finish it. And you and I live in the great tension between the first coming and the final coming of the Messiah. The Pharisees and the Sadducees didn't understand the fullness of Isaiah 53. He was bruised, he was pierced for our transgressions. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. They didn't understand the suffering servant of Isaiah 53. They wanted to look for the victorious servant of Isaiah 53. He is both the suffering servant who came and brought his kingdom. He brought his what? His kingdom. But he's also going to finish it, the fullness of his kingdom, which comes when he returns. This morning, I woke up and did a cold plunge, which was glorious and terrible all at the same time. Had a cup of coffee. And I had in the back of my mind a cup of coffee that I left in the car. I got it yesterday afternoon. It's two shots of espresso from a coffee place. A little bit of whipped cream. It's called a Doppio Campana. It's one of my favorite coffee drinks. And I knew that was in the car, and I knew I'd be drinking it on my way to church. It spent the night in the car. I prayed, worshiped, prepared a few hours before I came in today. I got in the car, grabbed my coffee drink, swirled it around, and threw it down the hatch. As I did that, I remembered when I did that in Hawaii. It's a big difference swirling your coffee around in Alaska when it was 30-something degrees last night. And when you do that in Hawaii where there's lots of cockroaches and water bugs. You only drink a cockroach once when you're in Hawaii. You don't ever want to do that again. You don't want to do it the first time. So I swirled my coffee, I threw it back and had a moment of pause, and I thought that's a good illustration. It's a picture of when Jesus comes to the earth. It's like cockroaches, demons, and sickness fleeing everywhere. But before that, people had the Old Testament more of a sovereign view that God does what he wants, when he wants to, whoever he wants to, but they weren't sure whether God gave them the sickness or where the sickness came from. They kind of attributed to everything coming from God. When Jesus came, the exact representation of the Father in the earth, when Jesus came, the King of the kingdom, when the Messiah came, it's like a giant spotlight turns on and cockroaches running everywhere. When I was single, my kitchen was not nearly as clean as it is today after I got married. And we lived those early years of our salvation in Hawaii, and I pretty much had a cockroach farm at my house. But you couldn't really see them during the daytime, but when the lights went out. I never knew cockroaches actually make a noise, but when there's a lot of them, they make a noise. That's the noise they make. How do you know? Oh, I know. Jesus comes, the King of the kingdom. I want to talk to you and preach to you about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. There's a great contrast and a difference between Nazareth and Capernaum. If you see what's taking place here in the synoptic gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Jesus and Nazareth, they didn't really receive him. And that's when he said, a prophet's without honor in his hometown. Because when they saw Jesus, they're like, oh, isn't this Jesus? Aren't these his mother, his father? Isn't this his siblings? And in Mark, I believe it's Mark 5, and he could do no mighty miracles there except heal a few sick people. The healing of a few sick people is pretty cool. But he couldn't do mighty miracles. Healing of sick people is not even considered a mighty miracle, according to Mark. And he couldn't heal sick, do mighty miracles because of their unbelief. Yet in a place called Capernaum, which I was just in some 10 weeks ago or so, he set up his base camp of operation and did incredible miracles there. I have found over the years of pastoring that there's really two kinds of people, those like unto Nazareth, those in Nazareth, and those like Capernaum. Most of the church are unbelieving believers. They believe that they believe in God and maybe believe in miracles, but that happened back then, or it doesn't happen here. It certainly couldn't happen to me. Some people are in this Nazareth, not expecting much. How did you come today? Did you come expecting anything from God? Did you come expecting that God today could give you a breakthrough? Today could heal you? Today could set you free? Today God could answer your prayer? Today God could open up the windows of heaven, pour out such a blessing, not have room enough to receive it? Did you come today believing like those at Capernaum that he's going to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that you could ask or imagine? Or have you just come like somebody who's just like, well, what time is lunch? How long is he going to preach? Like a religious person. I've found that there's people that are likened to Nazareth, the people of Nazareth, and people that are likened to Capernaum, hungry and thirsty for the kingdom of God. I do believe that we're a Capernaum-type church. At least I hope and pray we are. Key verse in Luke 4 and 43, but he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns also, for that is why I was sent. Well, what is the kingdom of God? Look at the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. It is the main theme of the synoptic gospels, Mark 1 and 15. The time promised by God has come at last, he announced. The kingdom of God is near. Say that. The kingdom of God is near. The whole gospel of Mark is about Jesus being the victorious champion, smashing darkness everywhere. He's the light and the cockroaches scatter, or get crushed more accurately. In Matthew 4 and 17, from that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent of your sins, turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven, they're synonymous, kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven is near. Everybody say the kingdom of heaven is near. So the whole gospel of Matthew is about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. In fact, Matthew 5, Matthew 6, and Matthew 7 is what's called the Sermon on the Mount. Those are the bylaws of the kingdom. If you want a heart that's exuberant and on fire for God, go study Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and then don't just study it, do it. Start doing it, and what you'll find is your heart begins to expand and the increase of his power upon your life comes. And it's a beautiful thing. You're not supposed to have a dull, boring life with God. A bored believer is a weak believer. When you're on fire for God and you're excited about Him and you just can't wait to Him to speak to you and you to respond, and you're reading the Word and you're praying and God's moving, and you have this revelation that the kingdom of God is within you and upon you, then God can do anything at any moment. When you live like that, it is not boring by a long shot. We're so wowed and enamored by Hollywood and money and power, when if we would realize that Jesus made a way, that Jesus by His shed blood has brought the kingdom of God, and that we can enter on into an encounter with Him, we would forever be different. He didn't save you so you could be some religious person, dead, tore up, messed up, broken. Yeah, we're all broken. We're all messed up. But He comes and He heals us and He sets us free. Can you say a better amen? Amen. So it is the main theme of the synoptic gospels. Synoptic, they have commonality, as I've taught you. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, very similar. John, very different. And it's the main theme. The kingdom of God is the entire theme, really, of the whole Bible. The whole Word of God is about the kingdom of God. Come on, bump your neighbor and say it's all about the kingdom. In fact, it ends in Revelation talking about, from Genesis, it starts, Revelation 11, 15. The world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and of His Christ, and He will reign forever and ever. Another version says it this way: the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and Savior. Now I'm going to see if I can just make it really plain. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve were created, made in the image of God. They were like God in every way. They talked with God. They walked with God. They had tremendous fellowship and intimacy with God. There was one thing they were not allowed to do, and that would be eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Eve was bamboozled by the serpent. She ate from the tree. Adam had made an idol, I believe, of Eve. So instead of call on God and ask for help, he went ahead and participated. And then in dying, they surely died. The Lord warned them and said, if you eat from the tree, you will surely die. We say, well, they didn't die right away. They lived and they had kids. That's right. But the process of death entered the world. Sickness entered the world. Disease entered the world. It's called the fall of man. And right at the fall is called the proto-evangelium. It's the first time first evangelium. Gospel. It's the first time the good news is preached. It's right in Genesis, the fall of mankind. God comes looking for Adam. Now, if the Lord can't find you, you're really lost. Adam! Adam! Where are you? I think He was giving him an opportunity to repent. We don't know for sure. He says, I was naked. Who told you? The serpent. And the decree is given to the serpent. You'll crawl on your belly. And the judgment given to the serpent is given, although it would be millennium later, many millennium later, there would come the judgment. He said, the seed of the woman, you'll strike his heel. The seed of the woman will crush your head. It is the first time the seed, singular. You go and look in the Hebrew, it's singular, the seed, meaning the seed of a woman is a human being. There will be one that will come many generations later, who will crush your head. And His name is Jesus. His name, Yeshua, or Joshua. He'll save His people from their sins. And the Old Testament is so beautiful in that you see this, beautiful and terrible all at the same time, you see this intimacy that mankind had with God is now torn in two because of sin. And they're separated. And they're kicked out of the garden, the flaming sword keeping them from access. And they go on to live their lives now in death. What do you mean? They were living. No, the process of death, and eventually they would die. And then they had children, Cain and Abel, and the first murder takes place. The sacrificial system is set up right at that time when Adam and Eve were covered with skins. The Lord God killed an animal and covered their nakedness, which is a picture that your sin can only be covered by God. Covered their nakedness with skins. We don't know what kind of skins, but blood is shed when you're going to skin an animal. Any hunters out there? Blood is shed. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin. It's the type and shadow of the final sacrifice that would one soon come. I've gotten ahead of myself. So they knew that intimacy with God, that terror would be in part mended by the sacrificial system and the offering of blood and the firstborn and on and on and on. Cain, though knowing that, decided to give a fruit basket. Cain gave what he wanted to. Abel gave what was required, the firstborn. And so God looked with respect at Abel's offering, but at Cain and his offering, it was unrespected, and Cain got mad. I got to tell you that I've seen people so mad. That's not fair. I don't know. That's not fair. How come they got... Oh, did you sow the seed? Did you pray through? Did you do your job? I mean, just living how you want to and expect God's favor, that's not how it works. If you love me, New Testament, you'll obey my word, is what Jesus said. Somebody said, I love God, then you must obey his word. And we all slip in different ways, but a heart to obey him. So Cain and Abel, and the first murder takes place. Cain's upset. God doesn't like his offering. And he murders his brother. And you see sin moving down the line of mankind. And Lamech, and on and on and on and on. It's pride. And it gets to Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, and Noah found favor in the eyes of God. And the Lord was grieved that he made mankind. He was grieved. And so he decided to start over. So he started over with Noah. And Noah made a boat. They didn't even know what that was. There was never any rain. And then the fountains of the deep were opened, and the skies opened, and it rained, and flood covered the earth. Do you know that nearly every civilization across the world has a flood story? So God destroyed the earth with a flood, and then Noah and his sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, come out, their wives. And it's an interesting command, be fruitful and multiply. Same command giving to Adam and Eve. It's like the Lord's like, okay, we botched that one. Let's start over, y'all. Except one of Noah's sons sins. And you see sin is inside the human heart. And you see for generations, God, through different ones, he finds an Abraham, and there's all these prophetic promises, and eventually the kings, and there's good kings and bad kings, but none that would really serve God with all their heart. Even David, when he found David, David was a man after God's own heart, except for the issue with Bathsheba. It's this picture that God's constantly looking for people to serve him and to love him, but the terror because of sin has kept mankind from God. Oh, and then he couldn't take it anymore. It was time to fulfill the seed of the woman. And Jesus, Yeshua, the King of the kingdom, is born of a virgin. And you see him live his life for 33 and a half years, and he cast out devils, and he healed the sick. He crushed the cockroaches. And then he took the sin of the world. He took your sin and my sin and all who would believe upon him. And he gave them the right to become children of God. If you're here under the sound of my voice, you are not his child unless you've repented and received him as the King of the kingdom and the payment for your sin and mine. You must receive him. You must be born again. Wow, and intimacy is restored. The kingdom of God is just exactly about that. Finally, the king himself comes to establish the kingdom himself and to bridge. The kingdom of God is a governance of God. It's the what? It's the governance of God. A simpler way is to say the rule of God. George Ladd, the kingdom of God, mandatory reading for anybody that's being discipled around here. All of my pastors have read it. I've read it. Dr. Morocco had us read it. It's written years ago. Powerful book. It's the kind of book, the kingdom of God, George Ladd. It's the kind of book you read like two pages. You're like, let me read that again. You read through it again, underline some stuff, and you're like on a page 3. Then you have to read that again. And it's just mind-blowing. The kingdom of God. the kingdom of God. You enter the kingdom the moment you submit to his rulership. You're not a part of the kingdom because you're a human being. Oh, you're made in his image, but you're separated like Adam and Eve were separated. You enter his kingdom by receiving the payment for your sin. That's how you enter the kingdom. It's not a geographical place. If you can grab a hold of this, it'll change you. How is the kingdom of God conveyed? How is the kingdom of God conveyed? Jesus not only spoke about the kingdom, but he demonstrated the power of the kingdom. And I will say in New Testament application, the kingdom is more than just about me preaching it to you. It's about seeing it manifest in your life. If the kingdom of God is here, and it's not here in its fullness, but I'll get there. Kingdom now theology is false theology. The kingdom of God is more than just about words, it's also deeds. And you'll see this in the life of Christ, and you'll see it in the life of every single believer, and you'll see it in the New Testament church. You'll see it. Words and actions, the casting out of demons, the healing of the sick. Basically, the casting out of demons, demons come to church. Go ahead and look at your neighbor. Go ahead. If there's red eyes, go ahead, look at them. If there's red eyes looking at back at you, just wave your hand. All right, would you help them over there? Very good. Fantastic. Over there. Very good. The healing of the sick, the casting out of demons is just a part of the kingdom. So, but does that still happen? Absolutely, every service. I haven't seen anything like that. You don't want to. Doesn't have to be all crazy and slithering like a snake on the floor, although we have seen that. That's not. Listen, Jesus never castigated anybody for casting out a devil. He never made fun of somebody because of their sick. He just set them free. He just set them free. It's the Western church is so weird. The Western church is strange mostly. The worship of intellectual assent and Gnosticism, really. Jesus came and undid everything that was done by Adam and Eve. He came and bridged the gap made by sin by becoming the final sacrifice. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, as I've taught you so many times before. In 1 John 3:8, it says, but the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Why did Jesus come? To destroy the works of the devil. So then all the works of the devil are destroyed. Potentially. Let me just tell you, the confusion, the sexual confusion and the castration of children is totally demonic. It's demonic. The anti-Semitism in universities across the land is a demonic agenda. Waving flags to support We Are Hamas. You know what? I just tell you, if Hamas is here, they'd kill all of us. That you, Lisa, well, it's America. You can do whatever you want. Listen, you can't kill people for your belief system. That doesn't qualify. We have laws against that, although they're not being informed, not being upheld. The third thing you see in the demonstration of the kingdom before we look at this text is signs and wonders. These are things, when the kingdom is at hand and being put on display, it's more than words. It's casting out of devils, demons. It's the healing of the sick, and it's signs and wonders. I'm reminded of a sign and wonder that took place here. You say, well, that was just a coincidence. Well, you can believe what you want to believe. I know it was a sign and wonder. What was it? Rain coming this way after the largest continual pour that's ever been done in the valley was this slab that you're standing on right now. And rain came up, and our concrete guys, I don't know, maybe some of you were here. I saw some in the first service. They said, if that rain comes here, we have lost the whole pour. We're in big trouble. We all started praying, oh, in Jesus' name. And then Wally, bless his heart, he'll be back here next week, I believe, rises and just declares, in the name of Jesus, there's not one bit of rain. I wish it was me, but it was him. Anyway, there's not one bit of rain that's coming on this slab. In Jesus' name, rain go. And literally, we watched it come and we watched it part. Raise your hand if you were there. Some of my staff was there. We watched the rain go totally around our slab. It rained over on Walmart. It rained over here. It did not rain here. That's a sign and a wonder. Jesus walked on water, sign and a wonder. Fed the 5,000, fed the 4,000. Coin in the fish's mouth. That's a sign and a wonder. Water to wine. It's a sign and a wonder. He said, really? Yes, it's a sign that makes you wonder. All right, let's look at the text. Evil here is revealed. You need to understand the demonic a little bit. We are to be excellent at what is good and innocent of evil. There is a hyper-consciousness about the demonic now, and some just really almost worshiping deliverance ministry. I see it. I hope it's not you. Deliverance ministry is normal Christianity. It should happen everywhere in every church. I was contacted not long ago. It's happened over the years many, many times, where somebody would send someone from their church, would you break them free from demonic power? And I want to ask, well, how come you don't do it? And they said, well, I'm not called to deliverance ministry. There are specifically some people that are very gifted at deliverance ministry, and thank God for that. But it is absolutely a part of the kingdom of God. Why would they want to bind people? They bind people. Demons come to put sickness, disease. And there's two reasons demons come to bind people. Think of being bound as being handcuffed. Someone who's addicted and they're controlled by drugs and alcohol, it's demonic. I said it's demonic. It needs to be broken. They need to be healed. People that are addicted to pornography, it's demonic. People addicted to violence, it's demonic. Ideologies that say you should kill a Jew is demonic. Demons do that. They bind people. And we really, you know, are they possessed? Are they bound? Are they? Many times people have, you have to listen closely to the next statement I'm about to make. They have a faulty understanding of spiritual spatial reality. We think in terms of what we can see here. If you have a demon sitting on your head defecating, or it's on the inside of you, hello, you don't want it at all. Now, I've heard it say, and maybe I'll agree with it, that if the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, then light and darkness can't dwell. Okay, I understand that. But I've seen many Christians that declare they love God and they're Spirit-filled and they pray in the Spirit and they're demonized. They're bound. All right. They want to destroy you. They want to get back at God. They hate God. The devil hates God, wants to get back and wants to destroy your life. And the second reason is that people are bound and people get demonized so that they can manifest in the world and kill 1,200 people and take hundreds of hostages into Gaza. Are you saying Hamas is demonic? Totally. But so is every other agenda that tries to kill and murder and maim. Absolutely. Be a statesman. Let's all worship God for just a second. Sickness can come from the demonic, clearly. And sickness is a result of the fall. Jesus is the King. Come on, somebody say, Jesus is the King. He has authority and power. Come on, say that. He has all authority and power. The first miracle that Jesus did in Matthew is the setting of someone free from demonic power. Mark, same thing. Luke, same thing. The first miracle that Jesus does is get the devil out of somebody, break the devil off of somebody in synagogue, basically. I mean, that's kind of intense. We see evil exposed, but we also see who Jesus is. He prayed also. He went away to a solitary place and he prayed. He showed his dependence upon the Father. God's word for us here in this final message of a breakout for 2024, God's word to us is this: as a believer, you have power and authority. I want you to say that. Say, I have power and authority. Because I'm a believer, I have power and authority. Say that. Because I'm a believer, I have power. It's delegated power and authority. Does any military here, or police officers or state troopers here? And I know we have many. Your power is delegated to you by the state, by the government. You can't just run around and make your own laws. You're ordained, or your authority comes from a higher authority, in this case, the government. You and I have an authority given to us by God Himself. Verse 36, these two words, exousia and dunamis, power and authority. Come on, I want you to say, He's given me power. He's given you the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. He's given us His word. If you don't operate in power and authority, it means you don't really have it. It's available for you, but if you don't move in it, you don't really believe it. You can't separate what you believe from what you do. What you do is absolutely what you believe. You are not what you eat. You are what you believe. Ephesians chapter 1. Come on, you're an ambassador. You're a minister of reconciliation. You're God's hand extended in the earth. Ephesians 1 and 17, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you a spirit of wisdom. Oh God, give this to us. And insight, that you might grow in the knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light, so you can understand the confident hope that He has given to those He called. His holy people are His rich and glorious inheritance. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness. Listen closely. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe Him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated Him in a place of honor at God's right hand in heavenly realms. Now is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made Him the head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is His body. It is made full and obedient by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with Himself. New Living Translation. You have power. So many people live beneath the God-given, blood-bought power. He doesn't live inside a temple anymore that's made by human hands. In the Old Testament, there was a thing called the Holy of Holies, separated by a curtain. And that curtain separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. And once a year, on the Day of Atonement, also called the Fast, by the Apostle Paul, the high priest would go in a very prescribed way and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat for his sins and for the sins of the people. But on the day that Jesus was crucified, by the way, Passover was last Friday, all this week, but specifically last Friday night, Seder meals all over, celebrating the death of the firstborn, the death of the firstborn passing over, the death angel passing over the firstborn because of the blood of the Lamb, a type and shadow of the Lamb of God. And when Jesus was crucified at the exact time, they killed the lambs on the Passover in Israel at the exact time when the lambs were slaughtered, one for every household. God's Lamb was slaughtered also, sinless, perfect, blameless, hung on a cruel Roman cross for 6 hours one Friday, and He was pierced in His side by a Roman sword, fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy of Isaiah 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was wounded for our iniquity. The chastisement that brought us peace was upon him. You can be forgiven. You can be healed. You can be set free from demon power, not because you're a nice guy, but by what happened on the cross. And Jesus was crucified, and he was laid in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, and he rose again on the third day. On the day that he was crucified, darkness covered the earth. Josephus, a Jewish historian, not a Christian believer, writes that there was an earthquake and darkness covered the land. And it was at that time, and he writes it in his books also, it was at that time that the curtain that separated the most holy place, the Holy of Holies from the holy place, it tore in two, signifying this, that the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell inside of a temple anymore that's made by human hands. He come to live in your heart. He's come to live in my heart. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And so many people live beneath that. They don't understand the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is near. They don't understand that. And as a result, they live like playing with mud pies, as C.S. Lewis says. C.S. Lewis writes in one of his books, we're all like the little boy who's homeless in the street, playing and making castles out of mud when a victorious, all-paid holiday is available for him by the blood of Jesus. So many people live groveling for what's next, and they don't live in kingdom authority. They don't live in kingdom power. If there's going to be a breakout, there has to be a people that grow up, snap out of it, and come alive to the truth that God is on the inside of you, and God in you is the majority. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, the greater one lives on the inside of me. Oh, come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? Deity inside of humanity is the greatest revelation you could have. And he didn't die so you could just go to heaven, otherwise you'd be dead after you get born again. You'd croak. Your carcass would hit the ground and you'd be in heaven. I'm trying. The church has power and authority. The church is a theological statement here. On the screen, the church is a visible expression of the gathered kingdom of God. That is a very strong theological statement. The naos of God. See, individually, we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. Once we receive him, he comes to take up residence within us. There is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, separate message. Individually, he lives on the inside of us, but corporately, when we come together, we are the gathered people, or the naos of God, or the dwelling place of God. There's power. There's power right here, right now, when we believe and we stand and we agree. So it should not just be here, though. It should be in Costco. It should be in Walmart. My God, they need help in Walmart. Just go there at 11 o'clock any night of the week. Go to Walmart 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. You'll see how much deliverance is needed all around. Don't shout me down. Come on now. That's true. Cars. Wherever you go, goes the kingdom. He said, well, I don't feel like it. Yes, that's probably true. That's why I'm trying to get you truth so you can adjust your feelings to the facts. Adjust your feelings to the facts. I've shared this illustration, but it comes to me so plainly. I have about 20 hours in a small airplane learning to be a pilot, which I'm not going to be. Some people should be pilots. Some people should never be pilots. I'm one of those. There's old pilots and there's bold pilots, but there's no old bold pilots. So I'm just too much of a risk taker. And maybe as I get older, I could do it. I don't know. About 20 hours and I learned to fly. And this is one of the last, in fact, it is the last time I flew a plane. We wound up in a storm. And wind, clouds, it was not good. And I felt like I was this way and sideways, flying. But my pilot friend who was teaching me, who had been through World War II, Korean War, Vietnam War, all of them, flown over 104 missions. He was coaching me. He was my pilot, training me. He said, pay no attention to your feelings right now. However you feel right now is irrelevant. Look at that right there and obey that. Keep the ball between, what is it, attitude, indicator, whatever. I forget exactly. And so there I am. And I'm getting sick. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, uh-huh. He's like, are you okay? I'm like, uh-huh. A little while later, is you okay? I said, no. He says, I got it. I like, oh my. If you're going to fly a plane by instruments, you do not pay attention to what you see. You don't pay attention to what you feel. So many believers live by what they see, by what they feel. Come on, you got to walk by faith, confident assurance of what the Word says. What does this say? What does this say? What does this say? What does this say about your, my God, what does this say about your sickness? What does this say about your situation? What does this say? What does this say? This is what you look at. You open it up. You pay close attention to it. Oh, I don't feel very good, but your Word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What does this say? Touchy-feely believers never fulfill the mandate to bring the kingdom anywhere. What am I doing down here? Come on, raise your hands to heaven. Come on, hold your Bible up and say this with me. Say, this is my Bible. Get your own. So many people don't walk by faith. They walk by their feelings. God's inviting us to see a breakout of His kingdom. I believe that's happening. We see so many people healed, so many people delivered, so many people set free. Provision being released, more than enough everywhere we look. Why is that? It's the kingdom of God. Now look at this next D. A word of caution. This is not a typo. The kingdom is here, not yet. I want you to say that. Say, the kingdom is here, not yet. That theological concept describes really the situation that we're in. The kingdom came through the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, but not in its fullness. The fullness of the kingdom comes when He returns. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. So the kingdom of God is within me. The kingdom of God is here. Come on, someone say, the kingdom's here. Okay, so you're going to see, you should see, it is a biblical mandate and a scriptural reality that you will see people healed. You will see people set free from demon power. You will see signs and wonders and miracles. You're going to see it. But the fullness of the kingdom is not until He returns. And that's what I mean here by kingdom is here, not yet. God has initiated on earth His kingdom by sending Jesus. Crucified, rose again. And He modeled. He's the exact representation of the Father. Galatians talks about that. The glory of the Son. We know what the Father's like by seeing the Son. This showed us in Scripture. And yet He's crucified and He rises again. And He sends the Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Him, to live inside your heart and mine. Why? So that He can multiply His leadership. So He can release His kingdom. It'd be better, He said, that I go. This tension between this present experience and reality of the divine kingdom and the tension of when it fully comes has been a tricky thing for me to navigate. There are people that say the kingdom of God is here now, fully. It's not true. It's a theological error. It's called kingdom now. It's error. The fullness of it is here. It's all taken place. And this is a new heaven and new earth. Believe me, this is not it. And you got to do some mental You got to do some serious gymnastics with God's word to come up with that. Kingdom here, not yet, encapsulizes this realization of the kingdom of God now, eradication of sin, suffering, death, but also the fullness of it comes when he returns. And it's been challenging for me. Try to focus and listen to what I tell you. Because I know that these signs will follow them that believe. And I lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. But everybody I lay hands on, I don't always see them recover. And so some people say, well, if it was God's will, then they'd all be healed. Really? Okay. I mean, who are you? You don't know how planets don't crash into each other. Could it be that there's some mystery involved there? There is, in fact. There is. And so for me, I would contend and I'd pray and I believe for God's power to break out, the kingdom of God, same spirit, resurrection power, be healed, sickness go, disease go, devil come out in the name of Jesus. But yet there's times when it seems like that healing is delayed or it doesn't take place that I can tell. So we continue to contend and continue to believe, and some people die and go to heaven. You go to heaven if you're born again. And when you get there, you're healed then. And so this understanding that the kingdom comes in its fullness later, I got duped into not contending in a way that I could have, because I would rest on God's sovereignty and say, well, I guess, you know, later on. When in fact, some fights, some miracles don't happen unless you do a 21-day fast. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but most Christians have never done that. Have you done a 40? You be careful, check with your doctor before you do it. But I mean, seriously, have you resisted the point of shedding of blood until God manifests his power? Have you ever locked yourself? You ever locked yourself in a room? You ever locked yourself in a room and said, I'm not coming out until you show up and change the situation? I said, no, I haven't. Have you? Yes. Yes, I have. And even that's a gift from God. I have many stories, but most people there. It's when you read this, you realize what's available for you. Every anointing, every unction you see in spirit in this text is available for you if you did what they did to get it. Oh yeah, the blood of Jesus, that's right. But you have to do your part. We need a breakout. Everybody say breakout. We need to see the kingdom expressed in government, education, culture, entertainment, the church, every area of our life. Matthew 28, final verse. Final verses, Matthew 28, 18. Jesus came and told his disciples, I've been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, go. You got to understand what he's saying. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. He says, I've been given all authority and I'm giving it to you so that you could go and make disciples. He doesn't send you with lint. He doesn't send you with no power. He doesn't send you with some intellectual assent so you can try to convince. You can't convince demons. They don't argue well. They really don't. You can't teach demons. They need to be forcefully evicted. Sickness, disease. Thank God for modern medicine. I do. I thank God for modern medicine. I get concerned over big pharma. I don't listen to everything they say. 1 John 3:8, but the Son of God came to destroy the works of the devil. Why did Jesus come? Destroy the works of the devil. Why did he come? To destroy the works of the devil. Okay, pay close attention to the final scripture. John 20, verse 21. Again, he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. To do what? To destroy the works of the devil. What have we been called to do? Destroy the works of the devil. And it starts within you. It starts within me. It starts within your family. Our nation is in such trouble because the church went to sleep. But there's a fire that's starting There's a power being released. There's a fire that's being kindled in the hearts of men and women. People have had it. They've had it. They've had it with the whole transgender movement, which at best is mental disorder. But I do believe it's demonic. If the church doesn't say it, who's going to say it? People cutting themselves, people overdosing on drugs. May is Mental Health Month across America. Did you know that three quarters of the people are on medication for health and for mental health, for physical health? I'm not against medication, but so many people are on medication because of emotional disorders, dysfunctions, and phobias and fears. And if that's you, I'm not mocking you. I'm just telling you, you could get set free. How do you know? I know. From God's word, and I know from my own testimony, you can be set free. I said you can be set free. In May, I'm going to preach on sound mind, and we're going to go after root causes of disorders and break things off of people. You invite people. Come on, we're going to see some people set free in the month of May. You don't have to be crippled by fear. You don't have to have night terrors. It's not of God. You hear voices. If I had you raise your hand, you'd be surprised. Just because you don't hear voices doesn't mean that other people don't. People hear dark voices, hear things about self-hatred, all kinds of stuff. It is demonic. You say, Pastor, you're freaking me out. I'm trying to waken you. I'm trying to wake you up. I'm trying to wake you up. You can be free from that. You can be set free. You can be healed. You can be delivered. Can you say yes? And that's what America needs. America needs a massive deliverance. And if the church of the living God doesn't rise in their God-given, blood-bought right and release the kingdom of God, then we are going to be in some deeper trouble than we're already in.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you.